Hello and welcome to Beyond the Back Page on New FM with myself, Patrick Donoghue. The Republic of Ireland football team finished the international window on a high with a late win against Lithuania on Wednesday night. Remarkably, five of the starting lineup last night hail from Cork, and with Chidozie Ogbene and Alan Brown scoring for Ireland at the weekend against Belgium, it seems like a really, really great time to be a football fan in Cork. So with this in mind, we thought it'd be a great idea to get on the show Cork-based sports journalist Dylan O'Connell to chat about the emerging talent from Cork on the Irish team at the moment. It's also a good, positive use in terms of Cork City at the moment. They're top of the Division 1 and with hopes of returning to the top flight. So, and I'm delighted to say that Dylan is joining us on the line. Dylan O'Connell, sports journalist. Dylan, thanks so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, Dylan, I'll start with that. It's a remarkable statistic from last night. Five players from hailing from Cork on the team. It must be a really, really great time to be a football fan in Cork.
Oh, it's mental. Like, if you look back 10 years ago during the build-up to the 2012 European Championship, there was no Cork player on the squad who went to Poland and Ukraine back then. And now you had five last night, but Adam Mead is out injured. He's from Douglas. Kevin Long is also injured. He plays for Burnley. So you could potentially have an Irish team with seven players from Cork on it in a starting 11.
Yeah, it is remarkable. And I know Cork people love their sport, so it must be a real source of pride. And this trend of so many Cork players, you rightly pointed out that there's also players like Ida missing. Is it as a result, is it just a kind of... Is it a trend, or is it as a result of good work being done at underage level?
Like, it's a combination of factors, like from the individuals themselves who are being able to do the work, to like the work of clubs. Like, you can't say like, oh, each one of these, all these players played for the one club, because they didn't. Like, Alan Brown played for Ringmahon Rangers, he then went to Cork City. Chidozie Ogbene played for College Corinthians, Tramore Athletic. More athletic. He also played for, I think, Kilrene as well in Cork, but he also at the Cork City Academy. So that's kind of a trend there. Alan Brown's mother was involved in setting up the youth academy down in Ringmahon Rangers, who came out of the youth academy in Ringmahon Rangers, Queen Kelleher. Chidozie Ogbene is a few years older than Adam Ida. Adam Ida played for College Corinthians before he went to North City when he was a teenager. The thing with Adam, which is quite interesting, and a couple of years ago I spoke to his former coach, Frank Fitzgibbon, who spoke about him as a youth player, and he said he was outstanding, he had all the natural abilities, but when he went up and trained with the Irish under-15s in Dublin, he just excelled with the way that he's been coached them. So there's so many factors involved there, from the individuals to the coaching at schoolboy level, to the work of Cork City's underage academy, to the FBI.
And I might ask about Chidozie Ogbene. It's just a remarkable story. Like, even looking at his scoring rates, like he unfortunately a few offside last night, but going into that game last night, he had 3 goals in 6 games. It's a remarkable story. And I know you were chatting to him for a piece in the Echo, the Cork Echo. Is it a surprise to him how well he is progressing, or is it just he just has the belief now and he's doing well at Rotherham? He's established as in the first team at Rotherham, so is his confidence just high at the moment, particularly when he's playing at a green jersey?
Even like he was injured, I think, for the majority of last season, and he came back. And he's playing left wing back now for Rotherham United. They're top of League One last time I checked the table. And on Sunday, he's off to Wembley to play the Papa John's Cup final. So, like, Chidozie, he's having the season of his life. But, like, he's a natural sport, like, he's a natural athlete. Like, back in 2014 in Cork, he was the star man for Nemo against Ballincollig in the Cork Under-21 Football Championship final. He was a star man for Colossal Creastery in the Simcox final, which is between all the Cork schools. So he's a natural athlete, but like he went from being a very big fish in a small pond to being a very big fish, a very small fish in a big pond. So what did he do? He adapted. He trained hard, and like, look where he is now. Like, he's such a good person. Like, I can't think of a better person to be rewarded for his work and effort with the year he has had.
And yourself, Dylan, I know you've known him for a long time, and you would have seen him play for Cork City now a few years ago. Has it, how well he's done surprised you? Because it's just like, it's really, really an incredible story. It's a real, I think it's the feel good story, and I think people love him because he's so positive, and it's just been a fresh of air from this Irish squad.
Like, what I love with the Shidoza story, it kind of shows where Irish football's going, where he came out of the underage National League. Like, I remember one of his last times playing underage for City, just from what I remember, was in the UEFA Youth League against HJK Helsinki. He ran the boot off himself that night. And then a few weeks later in the McGill Cup final, it was the same thing again. Like, he's a natural athlete. And it's just brilliant to see, because like, he's the kind of guy where game is over, gets his medal, what happens next? He's always on what's happening next. I think that's such a brilliant attitude to have in a person, of like, you never have to sit in your laurels, he always wants more. But like, I suppose I know on a personal level, I'm for the past, I suppose, over 10 years. So like, he's like that in person. There isn't, you know, certain footballers put on like, that like face the media and then they go into the dressing room. It's always like that 24/7, such a wonderful, positive person. And like, it's been an awful 2 years for the country, and like, to have stories like that in the media, people love reading them. So like, it's brilliant to see something like that.
Well, yeah, I just think there's so much positivity with the Irish football team. You even saw yesterday, like, it was a friendly, it was midweek, but there's still a great crowd at. And Shidoze, what I found very interesting in the piece you did with him, the interview you did, he's conscious of his role of being a role model, because it's been spoken of, he's the first African-born player to play for the Republic of Ireland. So that is something he's really, really conscious of, inspiring people that maybe African-born players, they can play for their country. So that is an incredible thing that he's trying to, it's not only what he's achieving, but he wants to leave a legacy as well to inspire others.
Like, what I love about the Irish national team, so we always reflect the Irish story. Like, if you look at the team who went to the 1988 European Championships in Tally 90, it was kind of like, you know, it was the Irish dysphoria came back, like Ray Houghton from Glasgow, there was John Aldridge from Liverpool. If you look at the team who went to the 2002 World Cup, it was people who came through, I suppose, the first proper structures in the FAI, who were born and bred in, like, I suppose, the Irish football kind of, like, culture here. Then now we have players coming through, and like, if you look at how diverse modern Ireland is, you have players coming through there. Like, you have Kevin Zeffie, who's got Albanian heritage with the under-17. So like, there is quite a diverse, I suppose there's quite a strong sense of diversity in the team in terms of like their family background, and it's fantastic that Shidoze sees himself as a role model like that. Because like, you've so many kids out there who could have parents who are Polish, Albanian, Nigerian, from Cameroon, you name it, and they can look up to people like him, or other players whose parents or grandparents could come from, let's say, Albania or wherever, and like, you know that I suppose other people have done it, other people are doing this. I think it's brave to see, because this is modern Irish story, because how diverse we are as a country, it's fantastic.
And I must ask you about there was a lot of excitement with the tri-parrot goal. It was really, really spectacular, but a lot of a focus might have been overshadowed the brilliant performance by the Irish under-21s, which remarkably bet Sweden away from home. Sweden, a really, really strong team. That is another really, really exciting story as well. We now have a situation where Ireland it's within our own hands now with qualification. Getting a playoff at least. So that could be another brilliant. I know there's a couple of games coming up in June where the Irish under-21s, that's another really, really good feel-good story for Irish football.
Like, the thing about it though is, people look at the under-21s and it's not a flash in the pan. if you look at the last qualification campaign, they started off really strong. They beat Luxembourg, they beat Switzerland, Sweden in Dublin.
Mm.
But Stephen Kenny regularly meets with Jim Crawford, Tim Mohan, Colin T. O'Brien. He regularly meets with all the coaches involved in the... So, like, everything is being streamlined for Stephen Kenny and his starting team. So, if you're looking at the under-17s who were in a qualification tournament this week, they've led to the likes of Cotter Heffernan, who's on loan at AC Milan from Cork City. They have Kevin Zeffie as well, who's at Inter Milan in their academy. If you look at the under-21s, they're all being streamlined and told to play football the way Stephen Kenny wants them to play football. So, like, this isn't a flash in the pan of we're having one good qualification campaign. It's evidence of, like, everything's being streamlined. There's a concrete plan here for Irish football, and it's fantastic to see.
Mm. And before I let you go, Dylan, I might ask you a little bit while we're talking about Cork sport. Might ask you about Cork City. Great start to the season, top at the moment. I know you've been going to the matches in your capacity as a sports reporter. How do you are you optimistic about this season that Cork will finally get back to the big time in the Premier League? It's been a good start anyway.
Like, it's been a good start, but I suppose it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Mm.
So, like if you go into the playoffs, I know there's a totally random metaphor, but back in 2010, I know it's a completely different sport. The Patriots in the NFL were going to win the Super Bowl. Then they had one bad game in the playoffs. They blew it.
Mm.
So, like, that's 6 months down the line. So at the here and now, the way City are playing football, they're scoring goals for fun. They've put four past Athlone. They put three past Treaty. Waterford didn't even turn up on Turner's Cross. City obliterated them on the pitch. They have players like Rory Keating, who's got, is it 7 or 8 direct goal involvement? They're winning games with their best players, like Dylan McGlade's injured, so is Dean Coleman. So, like, it's a good time at the moment. But again, leagues are won in marathons, not sprints. Just look what happened in 2017. City won their first 12 games.
Mm.
And I think they were 18 points clear by the mid-season break. And they totally staggered over the line in the autumn. So, like, for the club, this just keeps it going game by game. They're with Wexford Friday night, hoping with Wexford, and that's it.
Yeah, and it's such a competitive division. Like it is remarkable that when you look of outside of Dublin, you have Limerick, Waterford, like the major cities, and Cork, of course, the major cities not represented in the top league. It's a really, really remarkable statistic or a trend. And what there seems to be a real bubble. I know in the Premier League, crowds are up. I know the Damien Duff factor with Shelburne. Crowds seem to be very, very healthy at Turner's Cross as well. Is that the trend as well, Dylan?
Yeah, there was something like 5,000 people at the first home game of the season against Colby United. There was 4,000 people at the Cork Derby against Cove Ramblers, and there was 2,700 against Athlone Town on Friday night in Turner's Cross. So the crowds are very healthy, but again, in Cork's a sports mad city.
Yeah.
The entire city will be glued to the box on Saturday night for the league final against Waterford. So if the Hurlers are doing well, everyone wants to watch the Hurlers. And now Cork City are going well, so everyone wants to watch Cork City. But then this is an exciting team. And like, I'm a firm believer there's a relationship between the national team and the domestic league, especially people like Stephen Kenny involved.
Yeah.
So there's definitely people seeing like the likes of Queeving Kelleher, Adam Needa and all those. I mean, like, I want to check out the League of Ireland. That's where Alan Brown played. That's where Queeving, where Chidoz Yangwene played.
And I might just be one thing about Keeveen Kelleher. You had a great story about a remarkable thing Jurgen Klopp did. You might tell us about this. Kelleher, Keeveen used to play for Ringmahon Rangers. You wouldn't mind telling us about that Jurgen Klopp, a remarkable gesture during the week or the last few days.
Yeah, like, it's no secret that, like, Jurgen holds Queeveen to high regard. Like, I spoke to Jurgen after the Carabao Cup final, and he called Queeveen the second best number two goalie in the world. And as a tribute to Queeveen's, like, most performance for Liverpool, he gave Queeveen's match-worn jersey from the 2022 Carabao Cup final to Ringmahon Rangers.
Yeah.
And with a personal note, thank you for sending us Queeveen. Cheers, Jurgen.
It's a remarkable Jurgen Klopp. I think he's on my list of people that I'm a Man United fan, but he's still on my list of people I'd love to have a pint with. He just seems to be just oozes charisma, and with gestures like that, it's just a touch of class. And where do you see Kelleher's future? It's unfortunate he's behind Alisson in the pecking order. Where do you see him maybe going out on loan, or is Klopp such a fan of him he's not prepared to let him go?
I think these days of football, you need two solid goalkeepers playing, you know, your starting goalkeeper and a backup goalkeeper, like, especially with clubs like Liverpool, because I totally apologize if it sounds a bit half mad, but the nature of success has changed in football. Like, before, you could win one trophy. Now people are talking about Liverpool winning the quadruple. People are talking, was it back in 2019, about Man City winning the quadruple. So teams now have to play the bones of, was it 36 Premier League games a season? They play about 12 Champions League games, I think, with 12 to 16 Champions League games, plus FA Cup, which could be another eight games in the League Cup. Straight away, you're looking at the bones of 60 games a season, almost, between pre-season and this was the normal season. So teams need two goalkeepers to rotate, especially. So, like, teams want two top-class goalkeepers. Man City have it with Ederson and... I've drawn a blank. I can't remember Man City's second goalkeeper. Man United have it with Nick Pope and David De Gea. So, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Cleveland Keller sticks around, because that's where football's going. The most games teams have to play.
Yeah, that's great. Listen, Dylan, thanks a million for your time. It's been great to talk to you. And if we can get the Cork footballers up to speed now. I know they just about stayed up in Division 2. Cork eyes would definitely be shining. Listen, Dylan, thanks a million for joining us on the show today.
No worries at all. Thank you very much.